Shalom, shalom, and welcome back to Wisdom and Torah Ministries. It's always a pleasure and an honor to come to your homes and share the wonderful works of the Torah with you. Remember that one of the things that we need to understand as we walk in the journey of the Word of God is that there are times in which we quite don't understand the will of the Lord in our lives. You know, that's one of the main questions that we have when we come into the knowledge of the Messiah. We begin to walk in Him basically blindly because we are not aware of the commandments. We're not aware of the rules per se. So what I would like to do today is show you through the Torah, through chapters 12 of Genesis, Bereshit, how our spiritual walk has been already preordained in the life of Abraham. This is why Paul kept saying that, you know, we are the sons of Abraham. We are the sons of Abraham. We are B'nai Abraham. What is he trying to say with that? He's trying to teach us that Abraham was not a Jew. Abraham was not a Pharisee. Abraham was not an Israelite. Abraham was a Hebrew. The word Hebrew means to cross over. Comes from Ibrit. Ibrit from the root word Ibel, and it continues to give us a deeper understanding of what we are really a Messiah. We have crossed over from the world of destruction, from the world of chaos, from the world of eternal death. Now we've crossed over by faith in the blood of the Messiah to walk in our journey to cross over to be renewing of our minds, renewing of our hearts, renewing of our souls. And as you continue to live according to Scripture, you're going to have a lot of challenges. You're going to have a lot of adversities. You're going to have a lot of, you know, things that will come against you that will test your faith. Just like Abraham was tested 10 times, just like the children of Israel were tested in the wilderness, just like Isaac and Jacob were tested. These were the patriarchs of our faith, but yet they went through a lot of trouble. They went through a lot of chaos. They went through a lot of, you know, family problems. If you study the family of Jacob, you're going to notice that it was not a very nice family. I mean, even though there were 12 children and we come from that descendants of the 12 children of Israel, they had issues like any other family does. And what I'm going to try to do is go through chapter 12 of Genesis, verse by verse. And I want to outline your spiritual walk and my spiritual walk already preordained in the life of Abraham. So you understand what Paul says in 1 Corinthians, that all those things that happened to them is for our examples. So we may learn from them. Let's see if I can find the verse right now, because I'm basically going from the top of my head here right now, and I want to make sure I get this right. Paul is trying to tell us, I think it's 11, 1 Corinthians 11, if I get it correct, or 10. I think it's 10. It says, all those things that happened to our forefathers happened as our example, so we may learn from them. You know, this is something that is very, very important for us to understand, that if you want to study the Torah, you have to really believe what Yeshua says. If you believe Moses, you believe in me, because he wrote or spoke of me. And also he says, lo, in the volume of the scrolls it is written of me. So today what we're going to do in the next half hour, we're going to study the life of Abraham and see where our life spiritually fits in his life. Okay, let's begin. Now, as we go to the screen, I want to go verse by verse, and I want to show you verse by verse now. I want to show you how this works, beginning in verse 1. Whoops, sorry, I went to the wrong way. It says, now Yahweh has said unto Abram, get you out of your country, from your kindred, and from your father's house, unto the land that I will show you, and I will make you. I want you to notice how many I wills are there. I will show you, I will make you a great nation, I will bless you, and make you a great name, and thou shalt be a blessing. I will bless them that bless you, I'll curse them that curse you, and in you all the families of the earth will be blessed. Now, let's break down the first verse there real quick so we see what's going on. In your life and in my life, when we come to the knowledge of Yeshua, basically the Father has told us to do exactly what he told Abraham. Get out of your circumstance. Live who you are and come and cross over to walk with me in harmony. See, in order for us to walk in the perfect will of the Father, we need to leave our circumstances. We need our lifestyle and turn around and turn away from those things that are keeping us from the complete blessing of the Father. And if you notice, in chapter 12 of Genesis, it tells you specifically, the Creator says, now Yahweh spoke to Abram, get out of your country, from your kindred, from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. When you came to the knowledge of the Messiah, you had no idea who he was. You really didn't know why the gospel applied to you. But you had enough chaos in your life, and you have enough worries in your life, and you have enough destruction in your life, that we decided to change our ways and to give the creator of the universe an opportunity to become the Elohim in our hearts. Now, we did it by faith, with our eyes closed, basically accepting something that we never have known. It's like buying a house without reading the fine print. It's like buying a house without really knowing how much interest you're going to pay. Buying a house without really checking if everything is in order, if you're going to have any chaos later on in the structure of the house. The same thing happened here. Yahweh asked him to leave his house by faith. So he walked by faith. He left the land of Ur, and he walked over to Haran, and then he went to the land of Israel, which he crossed the river Jordan. That's where the word Ibrik comes. He crossed over the other side. And that's when you and I make the transition from a sinner to a sons of the living Elohim. When we cross over from the realm of death into the realm of life through the name of Yeshua by the blood of the Messiah. So he told them, I want you to leave. I will show you, I will make you, I will bless you. Those three things are very important, because now the one who's doing the blessing, the one who's going to show them, is the Creator. What did Abraham do? And we're going to find out about that in a minute. But verse 3 is very important. I want to show you there. If you go back to the screen, I want to show you some verse. So very significant that a lot of people overlook, that if you don't know the Hebrew, unfortunately, you're going to miss. So when you go to verse 3, it says, I will bless them that bless you and curse them that curse you. And in you, Abraham, shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Well, in the Hebrew, it kind of reads a little different. If you go to the Sefer Torah, to the Torah, there's a word there, that the word barach, which means blessed, but there's a word that means vinevrechu. And the last part of the verse in Hebrew is vinevrechu vechakol mishpechot ha'adama. Mishpechot is families, vechakol is and all, and ha'adama, the earth. So it says vinevrechu vechakol mishpechot ha'adama. So therefore, what it's talking about is, it says, I will bless you that bless you. I will curse them that curse you. And in you, Abraham, all the families of the earth will be grafted in. Vinevrechu, the word, can also mean in its root form. And it's etymological root. Can you go? It's an agricultural term. So therefore, what happens is, that when you say vinevrechu, and this is what Paul got the concept of being grafted in Romans 11. See, he got it in Romans 11. So therefore now, where did he get it from? He got it from the Torah, because the Torah was the only book that Paul had available. So therefore here we see that the blessing in which Paul has been talking about in the Brit Chadashah is so you will understand that these blessings have nothing to do with being Jewish. Has nothing to do with being Israel. Has all to do with the blessing he made to Abraham, who was a Hebrew. And this is the issue Paul is having in the first century. He's trying to deal with the Pharisees and the Jewish hierarchy there that are coming into the knowledge of the Messiah. They're trying to convert them to the religion of Judaism. And Paul is saying, no. No, it's not about circumcision of the flesh first. It's circumcision of the heart. Now, circumcision of the flesh is still valid. It is a commandment. But it doesn't precede the circumcision of the heart, because Abraham believed by faith. Abraham walked by faith without knowing where he was going, to a land that I will show you. And this is what our walk is all about. We walk in the Messiah without knowing who he was, without knowing the commandments, without knowing the conditions of the covenant that we enter by confession of our faith. And now when we begin to walk, we are walking towards the land of promise, towards the heavenly realm that he's going to have on the earth in the land of Jerusalem. And we do that by faith, just like Abraham did. So let's continue here on verse 4. If you go back to the screen, they're right there, verse 4. Says, so Abram departed, as the Lord has spoken unto him. And Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of the land, out of Haran. Now, we got a problem. Okay, because in verse 1 he says, now the Lord has said unto Abram, get you out of the country, from thy kindred and from your father's house, into a land that I will show you. Did he tell him to take Lot with him? No, he told him, get out of your family, at your kindred's house. Get out of your family. But what a lot of people don't know is that Abraham was the uncle of Lot. And he, because his father died down in the land of Ur in a fire, therefore now his son was being taken care of by Abram. Now what's interesting is, you and I do the same thing. Let me give you the spiritual application to that verse. Yahweh tells us, move here and I want you to do this. And we decide to do it our own way, the way according to the condition of our hearts. And we drag the lots of our past with us. In other words, Lot, he took them with him to the land. And what happened to Lot? Lot created chaos in his life. There was chaos for Abraham. Because in reality, Abraham didn't listen to what God told him. He walked by faith, but he brought people with him. When God says, you, I want you to get out of your kindred, get out of your land. He didn't tell him to take Lot with him. I understand his wife, you know, but leave everybody else behind, right? But we are not willing to leave the things behind of our past behind. And sometimes we bring a lot of the lots of our life with us. We leave our bad habits from the past and we drag them into our spiritual walk, and then we wonder how come we struggle. You know, Lot began to work with, fight with them in regards to the workers, the shepherds of Lot and the shepherds of Abraham began to fight because they were prospering too much. They could not coexist. Then Lot got in trouble, and Moses, and Abraham goes and bails him out. And then Lot again gets in trouble, and then he goes to Sodom and Gomorrah. I mean, for crying out loud, you know, when are you going to get rid of this guy? It wasn't until Lot departed from Abraham that Yahweh blessed him. I want you to notice that. It wasn't until Lot departed from him that Yahweh blessed him and told him, now you lift up your eyes. Remember that Lot, he chose what he wanted, the plains or Jordan, right? But Abraham, Yahweh told him, now you lift up your eyes. And I will give you this, and I will give you this, and I will give you that. If we wait until the Lord gives us our blessing, then we will be blessed. But if we choose our own way and we choose the valleys, that's where the desolation and chaos is always there. That's why the children of Israel always lived in mountains. So they have the higher ground so they'll be saved. There's something spiritual about that, by the way. Let's continue on the verse so we can keep reading. Now, on verse 5, and Abraham took Sarai, his wife, and Lot with his brother's son, and all the substance that they had gathered, and the souls that they have gotten in Haran. And they went forth to go into the land of Canaan, and in the land of Canaan they came. Now, what's interesting is now you have Lot being Abraham being an evangelist. It's supposedly it's like 400 people that he told about the God of Abraham, Isaac, and not the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, because he's Abraham. He hasn't started yet, but the God of creation. There's a very interesting story about how Abraham basically discovered about the creation of the creator of the universe. Whether you believe it or not is irrelevant, but it's just something that is actually in the book of Yasher and some of the other books that are rabbinically inclined. And this one, actually, the book of Yasher is quoted twice in the Bible. And I use it as a point of reference. It's in Samuel and then again in Joshua. So, not in Samuel, in Judges and in Joshua, I believe. So what happens is, supposedly, Abraham, his father was a god, an idol maker. Okay, his father was an idol maker, very popular in the land of Ur. And then, supposedly, his father told Abraham, I want you to just watch the idols. So Abraham, before that event, he was asking questions. Well, who is the creator of the universe? Is it the sun? But wait a minute, the sun goes down and comes up again. So who rules the sun? Is it the moon? But wait a minute, the moon comes up, I'm paraphrasing, comes up and comes down. So who rules the moon? You see, so he began to ask the questions that we all ask. So now his father asked him, you know, I want you to take care of my gods while I go do something. And there was a big statue, bigger than the rest of them. So what he did, he destroyed all of the older statues, the small ones of his father's, you know, that's how he made a living. He was an idol maker. And then he destroyed all the other gods. And supposedly he left the big ones standing. And when his father got back, he asked him, what happened to my gods? You know, what happened here? And Abraham supposedly told him, I says, well, the big one over there kind of destroyed the other ones. And the father says, well, how can that be? They can't see, they can't hear. They can't do anything. And then Abraham supposedly told him, then why do you worship them? You see, that's a great lesson in our lives. Because anything can be an idol in our hearts. It can be a sport, can be an idol. Your family can be an idol. Your job can be an idol. Everything can be an idol. We need to determine what is. What are the giants in our lives? Is it going to be Yahweh the giant and the only sole purpose in our hearts? Or is it going to be the idols of life that are taking over and not allowing us to move forward? And here we see that Abraham moves and he is walking. He goes to Haran. He gets some people to believe in the God of creation. Now when he goes, let's continue back to the screen, please. When he goes in verse 6, I hope this is making sense to you. This is probably the one of the few spiritual applications that I do on this. I usually like to give you a lot of in-depth teaching on the Bible, but I think it's important to have a balance. Now, what's interesting here is it's going to be a pattern in Scripture that you're going to see from here on. Notice the patterns. And Abram passed through the land unto the place of Shechem in Hebrew, in the plains of Moreh. Now Moreh means teacher. Shechem means shoulders. And the Canaanite was with them. Now this is very important because the children of Israel went to Shechem. Jacob went to Shechem. Even Joseph went to Shechem. So where the fathers go, the children of Israel go. Shechem means shoulder. And let's find it right there in the Hebrew. So you see what it means. When you come here, it's a Strong's 79:27. And basically the same as ridge, place in Palestine. So Shechem right here can also mean, let's see what it means. In the Hebrew can also mean neck, see, between the shoulders. And this is what the children of Israel were taken in the book of Deuteronomy for them to go worship, to make a decision of the blessing and the curse. The blessing and the curse. And that is found in Deuteronomy chapter 26. In Deuteronomy chapter 26, you're going to find this encounter. Chapter 27, before the curses and the blessings. And it says, that Moses... Where am I? Okay, it says, then Moses and the priests and the Levites spoke to Israel, saying, take heed and listen, O Israel. Verse 9 of chapter 27. This day you shall become a people to the Lord your Elohim. Therefore you shall obey the voice of Yahweh your Elohim to observe his commandments, his statutes, which I command you today. Moses commanded the people on the same day, saying, this shall stand on Mount Gerizim to bless the people. Then you shall cross over the Jordan. Okay? So in other words, Mount Gerizim, Mount Ebal. So you have Jordan, you got Simeon, Levi, Judah, Issachar, Joseph, and Benjamin on the mountain of blessing. And then in Mount Ebal, you have Reuben, Gad, Asher, Zebulun, Dan, Naphtali. Where do they meet? They met in Shechem. If you read carefully, it tells you where they went. They went to Shechem. That's the place of decision. And here we see that Abraham goes to Shechem also. Why does he go to Shechem? Because in every believer's life, we need to make a choice. We need to choose between the blessing and the curse. Just like the children of Israel were taken there. Remember Dinah, the daughter of Jacob? The daughter of Jacob went to Shechem, and Shechem raped her. She made a decision to go into the area that she should not have gone. So what is interesting here, that there's a prophetic pattern here that we need to understand in regards to this position. And this has been established right there in that verse. Shechem. Right there, Jacob goes there. Dinah goes there and gets raped. Levi and Simeon kill the people from Shechem to basically vindicate their sister Dinah for being raped. And then you have the children of Israel go there. Jacob went there. Joseph went there. Do you think that's an important position, important place for us to understand spiritually? Yes, we need to learn to choose between the blessing and the curse. We left the land of destruction, the land of idolatry, Ur, which in this case would mean the world. We crossed over by faith, going to a land that you and I do not know. We're waiting for the promised land. We've never been there. We've never seen it. I mean, I've seen it. I've been to Israel. But a lot, it's not going to be the same way when Messiah comes. It's going to be completely different. So therefore now, you and I have done the same thing that Abraham did. And now he's going to be blessed. He will show you, I will take you, I will bless you. If we believe in those three things, then we will be blessed above and beyond anything we deserve. But before we be blessed, you have to make a decision. Are you going to live for Yahweh or are you going to live for the world? Are you going to choose the blessing or are you going to choose the curse? This is why Moses told them the same thing. I put before you the blessing and I put before blessing and life and a blessing, death and a curse. Choose life. Choose blessing so you may live. So the same thing we're doing here and the same pattern is happening in the life of Abraham. Let's go back to the verse, please. I hope putting the verse up helps you because it makes it a lot easier. The word Moreh, let's find out the word Moreh there in the Hebrew. This is probably not the best Hebrew interlinear, but it's the only one we have right now, so we're going to utilize this one. Moreh, you see, comes from another word in the Hebrew that means teacher. Like when you look at the word for rain, it's like an archer, teacher, teaching. So now you're, or rain, you see that? Or rain, early rain. So the connection in the Bible between teacher, between rain, Torah, Moriah, The word Moriah is the mountains of Moriah where Abraham later on went to take Isaac. It's composed of three mountains, Mount Opal, Mount Zion, and Mount of Olives. It's teaching you how to ascend unto the presence of the Lord, each mountain being higher than the next one. So the word Moreh, how do I know this is a particular important place in the life of Abraham? Because it has the plains of Moreh. And the word Moreh means to teach. So Yahweh is trying to teach him something. Come to the valley of to the place of decision. Two mountains, even to this day. One is bare and one is green. Isn't that interesting? Even to this day, it's in the side of, you know, near where the Palestinians' capital is, in the mountains of Jerusalem, of Israel. So let's go back to the verse. I hope you're enjoying this. It's a little different than what I usually do, but I think we need to share with people how I teach, you know, how we study Scripture together, okay? And Yahweh appeared unto Abram and said, unto your seed I will give this land, and there buildeth he an altar unto Yahweh, and he appeared unto him. So now we have Abraham. We have Abraham, right, who leaves his place, his world of destruction, his world of idolatry by faith. Now he keeps walking on a promise that Yahweh made him, in which he's never met him, he's never seen him, he's never even seen the promised land, just like you and I. We come into the knowledge of the Messiah, and we believe he's going to be our king. We believe he's there for us. We believe, but yet we've never seen him. He's promised eternal life. He's promised resurrection. He's promised what? The promised land, but we've never seen it. So now, therefore, here, as we follow the pattern, he is taking what? To a place of decision so he can make a choice. So he can make a choice about what is he going to choose. And in the next verse, you see that the Lord appeared to Abraham and said, to your descendants I will give you this land. Now, see, many people read this verse and you're not going to see the clue of his decision. His decision is based on what he did. And what he did was he built an altar, Mitzvah. And Mitzvah is dedicating the authority of Yahweh on the earth. When he dedicated and built the altar, at that moment when he built it, he made the decision to follow Yahweh. Are you following me? Are you with me? You see, this is very significant because you can read the story and you just gloss over it like nothing. But if you understand Hebraic thinking, if you understand Hebraic understanding of what everything means, now you see it's like a highlighted in the book. It just comes out at you. So it's interesting that on the verse 5, 6, 7, verse 6, he is asked to go to Shechem to learn the teaching, Moreh, on the plains of Moreh. So therefore now he's making a choice. I'm going to go to the place of a decision, of a blessing and a curse, and I'm going to build an altar. By building the altar, he is dedicating the whole earth to the power of Yahweh and dedicating the land of Israel to the power of Yahweh. Because altars do that. The altar sanctifies the offering. And when the altar is dedicated, just like the children of Israel, when they came out of Egypt, right, and they received the commandments, let me go there real quick. When they received the commandments in Exodus 20, in Exodus 20, after they received the commandments, listen to what Yahweh tells them. He says, then Yahweh said to Moses, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, you have seen that I have talked with you from heaven. You have not make anything. You shall not make anything to be with me, God of silver or God of gold. You shall not make for yourselves an altar of earth, an altar of earth. You shall make for me. You shall sacrifice it on your burnt offerings and your peace offerings and your sheep and your oxen in every place where I record my name. I will come to you and I will bless you. If you make me an altar of stone, you shall not build it of hewn stones. Or if you use tools to it, you have profaned it. You shall not go up by steps to my altar, that your nakedness may not be exposed on it. So here they get the commandments, they build an altar. Noah comes out of the ark, he builds an altar. Abraham comes into the land, he builds an altar. The great tribulation begins because the altar is rededicated in Israel, and the Antichrist defiles the altar, and the great tribulation begins. When Messiah comes, the temple is going to be restored, and what is the first thing you build? The altar. To rededicate the authority of Yahweh on the earth. What is the temple song for the first day of the week? Oh, the altar song is this one. The altar psalm is Psalms 24. And in the temple, every time they used to dedicate the first day of the week sacrifice, they used to do Psalms 24, which reads this way. It says, the earth is Yahweh's and all its fullness, the world and those who dwell therein. For he has founded it as the seas and establishes upon the waters. Who may ascend unto the hill of the Lord, and who may stand in his holy place? He who has a clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul to an idol nor sworn deceitfully. You see, this is why Abraham dedicates the earth of in the land of Israel by making the right choice. I will make an altar to Yahweh. See, as for me and my house, we will worship Yahweh as my king. As for me and my house, my heart and my life becomes an altar unto him. I just hope and pray that my life becomes an acceptable sacrifice. That whatever I say, that the expressions of my mind, and the expressions of my mouth, and the meditations of my heart will be acceptable to him. That I will walk by faith like Abraham walked. That I could make the right decisions, but I don't want to make the decision of bringing the lot of my circumstance of my past with me. I need to leave Lot behind. Remember when Abraham went to the mountain in Genesis 22? He had to leave his servants behind while him and Isaac went up to the mountain. You cannot take the whole world with you if you want to receive the blessing. He wants to talk to you directly so he can have a special relationship so you can honor him and praise him in all his ways. This is only a glimpse of what we're going to be talking about. On the next session, we're going to continue this pattern and all the patterns of Scripture about our spiritual walk in the life of Abraham. Yahweh bless you and keep you. We'll see you soon. Shalom Aleichem.